Chapter 102. The spring thaw was in full drip. Everywhere one stepped was spongy. There were still small crusts of ice in places that did not get much sun. He was pretty sure he could drive the second-hand Ford truck up to the top of the rise of the property, but the weight of the load of topsoil was causing the mud flaps to drag on the pavement of the county road as he navigated the relatively short ride home. Ron had closed off the doggy door because he already had a plan about what he was going to do. There were two things on his side, speed and the good set of tires he had put on the Ford. Ron was hoping for a clear road, and he got it. He crossed the county road at about 25 miles an hour and bucked and bounced and squeaked his way to the top of the rise. Ron smiled when he put it in first gear and turned off the truck. He looked at the deep tracks he had made in the new grass on his way up the rise and smiled. He didn't care. They would go away. At the top of the terraced garden in back of the barn, atop the 12-foot fieldstone wall, Ron had carved out enough space for a vegetable garden. He went inside to let his puppies out, and they bounded from their confinement like creatures who had been denied the use of the yard for days instead of an hour. Ron had closed them in to go get the dirt and jockey it to the top of the rise. They sniffed around the new space and christened it. They were curious about the shovel filled with dirt that Ron flung into the garden. 3 hours later, Ron had finished shoveling out the truck and was raking the new topsoil smooth. He was sweating and thought he was about done when Keats came over and deposited a large poop in the center of his newly created garden. Ron laughed. "Well, you didn't waste any time, did you?" Finished now, and using his back paws to try to cover his deposit, Ron watched Keats undo some of his work. "I suppose it is the softest dirt around," said Ron. That afternoon, Ron put up his fencing, which consisted of rolls of chicken wire attached to long metal posts that he banged into the ground until his shoulders hurt and his hand tingled from the banging. He was tired, hurting, and proud. Celeste came out to have a look. "Do you think the fence will be enough to keep the critters out?" Ron grinned. "The fence and Fitzgerald should do the trick." Fitz, hearing his name, trotted over. He came to Celeste and waiting, not patiently, to be hugged. He was a strong boy now, who had an abundance of energy. He charged through the doggy door 15 times a day because he did everything at a charging speed and because he might have missed something since the last time he was out. Keats came over to Ron, sat beside him where he was standing. Fitzgerald, trained by an occasional nip to his hindquarters and an occasional swat or growl, responded to each of Keats' movements or signals. "I'm going to train them to be puppies with a job," said Ron. In full view of Celeste, Fitzgerald, and Keats, Ron opened his overalls and urinated against his newly planted fence. Celeste quickly looked around to see if anybody was watching. "That's disgusting, Ron. You're just as much of an animal as they are," complained Celeste. To her amazement, Keats dutifully lifted his leg and peed against the fence. Fitzgerald trotted over and followed suit. Celeste was aghast. "I live with a crew of animals," she said. She stared at Ron accusingly. "Disgusting animals," she said again, started back into the house. Fitzgerald dutifully followed her through the doggy door and into the house. Keats gave one bark to sign his approval. Ron followed Celeste into the house. "You could always come out and cop a squat and join in," he said teasingly. Keats followed Ron into the house, lifted his leg, and gave a little squirt against the side of their couch. Celeste screamed, "I live with a bunch of filthy animals!"